Okay, now is a final lesson, okay? Lesson number 7. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Okay, now we go to the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 22. We will just read from just read the first two verses, I think. Yeah. Genesis chapter 22. Here the word of God say in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And so here we know this is clearly from the Lord, okay, directly from the Lord. I mean, God is testing Abraham. That God did tempt Abraham and say unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give thee into the land, into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you once again for this evening. Lord, we pray that once again you open our eyes to see the lesson that you want us to learn from this passage. Pray the Lord that you help us to be obedient children of yours. Help us, Lord, to learn to obey you and to always be willing to do your bidding in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here, of course, we see a passage that talk about how Abraham had faith in God. And to have faith means to obey the Lord. And just now, you're listening to the song, Trust and Obey, okay? You trust the Lord, that's faith, and then you obey. Now, so to obey, you have to trust. To trust, you have to obey. So, trust and obey, okay? And basically, these two kind of go hand in hand. And faith means, when you talk about having faith, it means obediently putting the word of God in action, and that is faith. You know, obediently putting the word of God in action, and we see that in throughout the book of Hebrews. If you read the book of Hebrews, it's always by faith so and so do something. By faith Abel did this. By faith Noah built the ark. By faith do this. They always do something. Like, it's not like by faith they sit down and do nothing. By faith, you do something. Of course, at sometimes, maybe by faith we have to wait, but in the book of Hebrews, you read, by faith, you have to somehow follow up with some action. So basically, when we talk about having faith, you mean put the word of God, obey the word of God, or putting the word of God into action, obediently putting the word of God into action. That's how I look at faith. And here in Genesis chapter 22, we see Abraham exercise great faith, okay, by obeying the Lord in offering Isaac to the Lord. So, let's do some thinking here. Supposedly, we can travel by time, okay? We have a time machine. Of course, the more I study the Bible, I know that there's no way you can. No time machine, okay? How smart you are, no way you can create a time machine. If you have God, there'll be no time machine. Time machine is the idea that those people who don't believe in God. Because if you have time machine, that means you can go back to the past. That means you can make changes. But then, I don't think human being will be able to come to that level. Because if you start doing that, the world is going to be very messy. Everybody going back and do something, you know, come back and keep changing. So, God really determined everything. So, no such thing as time machine. But then, supposedly we have. And now, we travel back in time to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. No, not verse 1, verse 3. In between verse, maybe should I put verse 2 and 3. You see, after Abraham received the instruction, that night, that means the following day, Abraham supposed to bring Isaac to offer as a sacrifice, first sacrifice unto the Lord. So that night, before they go to Mount Moriah, what do you think will be the discussion in that night? Or in that night, can Abraham sleep? Who say Abraham sleeps soundly? Who say Abraham cannot sleep? Oh, you all disappointed me. Anyway, I'll give the answer later. He sleeps well. You believe that? That's good. He sleeps well. I believe Abraham sleeps very well then. You will come to that conclusion after I finish my lesson. Many times we think, oh, tomorrow I'm going to offer my son Isaac to God. How can I sleep, you know? Is there any other way, you know, and go back and forth, you know? But I don't think so. Because the next day, Abraham, the Bible says he was up early, and all. So he actually sleep soundly. Together with Isaac, both of them look like no problem. Isaac, you didn't even know, did not even know what's going on, okay? And from his conversation on the way up, you know, Isaac did not know anything. But then what is it like? The Lord will provide himself one, okay? And also you find that he did not even know. But Abraham knew. But Abraham was not like worry or what, okay? But otherwise he will not pass this test. Because this is a test of his faith. And God say, the word of God make it very clear that God tempts, that means God tests Abraham. God, in his infinite wisdom, determined to give Abraham a test. It was to test Abraham's what? Faith. Or maybe I should put it this way. My lesson outline will give you answer, obedient. This is obedient. Because obedient and faith come, like I said earlier on, obedient and faith kind of like, it's like two sides of the same coin. You can't really have faith without obedience. You can't really have obedience without faith. And so you find that when Abraham, that's what God wants him to do, is just to obey and carry out whatever God told him to do. So Abraham had a, and this is one of the very serious tests, okay, in Abraham's life. I mean, Abraham had been tested many, many times, but this is one of the most severe one. Because if you study the Bible carefully, then you will know that Abraham had waited 25 years for this son, Isaac. I mean, and so he waited 25 years, and finally God gave him Isaac, and now Isaac is maybe in his young teen, or I'm not really sure the age, maybe around that teenage boy, or older, I need to find out that, but then he was 25 years, he waited, okay? And then you find that, and now God tested Abraham by ordering him to sacrifice him, to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham was 100% obedient to God. He passed the test, like we say, with flying color. It's just A++, okay? Maybe some of the parents here, I don't know, jokingly, okay? Maybe some parent, or maybe not here, maybe some parent in somewhere in the world would have no problem. You God say, offer your son to me. You know, because he, their son is so rebellious, no? I don't mind offering my son. He's so rebellious, no? Do you know the saying in there's a saying in Chinese, it's like to give birth to a Char Siu is better to give birth to you. and so maybe some people will be more than willing, okay? But for the case of Abraham, it was different. Because God say that. And so we know for him it's not going to be easy. Because the Bible says, and he said, take now thy son, in verse 2, okay? Chapter 22, verse 2, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Don't get the wrong one, okay? Thy only son, Isaac. And then God said, whom thou lovest, the one you really love, and I want him. God named Isaac, and God said, I'm not going to have someone to substitute him, okay? It's Isaac, and the one that you love. And then get him up, okay? Get you up together with him to the land of Moriah. So here you find that about this obedience, okay? The outline is very simple, and I put down here, number one, obedience involves learning. Obedience is a learning process. It's not something that you have, or you, at the moment you get saved. It's something that you learn. As you learn more, then you learn to obey. And this is true with children. This is true with everybody. So you find that it involves learning. And obedience involves listening. That's the second point. And then obedience involves leaning, okay? Leaning, that's where the trusting, okay, of faith comes in. So first, obedience involves learning. Abraham went through many tests before he came to this greatest test in his life. You know, you find that Abraham first, God called him out from the land of the Ur of Chaldee. That was the first test. Did he pass that test? Did he pass the test? No. Yes. You'll disappoint me again. No, he did not pass the test. The first test, the most you can give him maybe 60 points only, not even 100. And why do I say that? Because he did not go all the way to the promised land. He went to the place called Haran, stopped there. And I say he did not obey God because God told him, you and your wife, not your entire family, you know, uncle, auntie, all come up, you know, his father, and then his brother, you know, and the nephew all came along. And that was not God, what God intended. God said, Abraham, you, okay, and your wife, go. So he failed, he did not pass the first test. And so here you find that, then of course later on his father Terah died, and then only he go further. Even then, he still brought along others, okay? That's why you find that if you don't really obey the Lord, normally there will be consequences. Like, he brought Lot along, okay? And Lot is one of the problems in his life. Okay, we'll see that later. Then when there was a famine, the first famine, I think, where did he go? He went to Egypt, am I right? The first famine, he went to Egypt. Did he pass that test? Now you all get the answer again. This pastor talk very tricky, right? You say yes, and he say no. Yeah, no, he say yes. No, he did not pass this test. Because God called him into the promised land, and he's supposed to trust the Lord there, but he went to Egypt, and he's not supposed to go to Egypt. But he went to Egypt. Of course, when he went to Egypt, there's a lot of study we can do there. Because he left Egypt with a lot more. It's interesting, okay? In spite of his disobedience in a certain way, God bless him. But at the same time, you see again, like I say, when you don't obey the Lord, it comes with consequences. What did he bring out from Egypt? One is his faith problem, Hagar. She was an Egyptian. So he must be from Egypt. So when he left Egypt, there was one lady called Hagar that came along. And then another problem that he actually created by bringing his wife Sarah, he lied about his the relationship, and he lied, okay, instead of being honest. And then also he brought Lot together, and when he brought Lot out of Egypt, that was a big problem. He was not able to take Egypt out from Lot's heart. So from then Lot become a person who looked into the world, and then later we see the problem. Then later on, separating from Lot, did he pass the test? Finally, there was a fight between the man of the servant of Lot and the servant of Abraham. Too big, the business is too good. And that's one thing about we learn a lot. You see some of the interesting thing here is that when. Many times, when two persons have partnership, when business is not very good, starting out, people work very hard, and business become very good, enjoying, prospering, then they fight. So here, you find that not that Lot and Abraham fight, they did not fight, but then the worker have problem with one another. And so, did he pass the test? Anyone dare to answer this question? The answer is yes, okay? I know y'all say yes, but y'all do not dare to say yes now. So he passed the test because he let Lot choose first. Of course, there's a preaching on why he let Lot choose first, okay? And then, but then he kind of like let Lot choose first. And then later on, Lot was being captured by this Chito Leoma. Then he went after this king, you know. Did he pass the test? Yes, okay. He was trusting the Lord with 300 of his men, and then he went after this king, you know, and he was one of the greatest king at that time, but he was able to kind of conquer that, okay, and brought Lot back, okay. And then after the victory, he came back, he met this king of Salem and the king of Melchizedek, you know. Did he pass the test at that time? Again, he passed the test, because you find that he did not want anything to do with this the king. Okay, he said, "I'm not going to take whatever thing from you." The king of Sodom. Okay, he said, "I don't want anything from you. I don't even keep anything. I only take those things that what the soldier deserve. They had their food. You know, then but I'm not going to take anything from you." Then of course, did he pass the test in believing that God will provide him a son? Come again. No. He was helping God out, okay? Because instead of waiting for God to give Isaac, then Sarah and Abraham say, okay, yeah, very old, no? And I'm also very old, no? I don't think it will work if you wait for God. And let's do something. Of course, Sarah was the one who suggested. But then Abraham agreed, so he and Hagar have a son, Ishmael. And do you see the consequences of that disobedience? The consequences is up to today. Up to today, you know. Can you imagine if they did not, Abraham did not have Ishmael? I don't know what the world will be like. Sometimes it's interesting to just figure out, if that did not happen, what will happen today? That means there will be no Ishmaelite. The Middle East will be different altogether. But because of the Ishmaelite, you know, and of course early on there is another group, okay, this Esau and things like that. But anyway, so the disobedience creates some problem, okay. And then of course, then there was another famine. The second time he went to Gera. But before that, there was a family conflict, a fight between Hagar and Sarah in a certain way. You know, Sarah says, "Send the Ishmael and Hagar away." Did he pass the test? He did not, okay, because he did not want to ask them to leave. But God asked him to do like what Sarah said. So here you find that, then of course he agreed, he did what God said. So in certain ways, still not too bad. Then of course, then there was another famine. He went to Gera. Did he pass that test? The famine, second famine. No, okay. It's interesting. He sits for the same test two times, fail. Can you imagine? Every time I read that, I find it very interesting. Sometimes God tests us with the same similar test twice and we fail. He was tested twice. Same thing. Famine. Go to a strange. God did not ask him to go, but he went anyhow. And he went there with the same problem. You know, and Sarah, don't tell people that you're my wife, okay? How old was she? When the Bible said that she was still very beautiful, you know? And she already not age of childbearing already, okay? And still very beautiful, you know? I do not know how those time work, okay? I don't know what kind of cosmetics she used. But if Sarah is coming to produce advertise for any kind of cosmetic, I think everybody will buy. You know, about at the age of 90, okay, and she still look very beautiful, you know? And Abraham said, "Don't tell people you are my wife, okay? And they'll kill me for you, you know. And make sure you tell people you are my sister." And so he failed again. So Abraham did not pass all the tests, but all these tests in his life is actually a learning process. He learned. Every time he sometimes he failed, but he still see the goodness of God. Like when he failed in Egypt, but when he came out from Egypt, he was richer. He failed in Gerar. He was even rebuked by a heathen. He was rebuked by Abimelech. But yet he still brought many things, more things out from there. God was still gracious to him. Then of course, some he failed miserably, some he was able to trust the Lord. And but one thing we learn from here in the life of Abraham is that Abraham did not stop trusting God. Though he failed, he still continued to serve the living God. You know, likewise, we should, if we fail, in times when we fail, we must learn from failure, stand up, and move on. On this coming, not this coming Sunday, maybe two Sundays from now, I'm going to preach one of the messages to prepare the church for the coming year. You know, is that you must have a right attitude when you come to your spiritual life. Is that you must stand. You know, that is in Ephesians chapter 6. Stand. You know, and you find that in that passage, talking about the armor of God, the word stand, I think, appear 4 to 5 times. Stand and stand. You know, and so that is the kind of attitude. You know, if I fail, never mind. It's not that I enjoy the failure, but I need to ask God to forgive me, and I need to move on. I need to stand up and move on. Because you see, worse than failure, something worse than failure is that when you quit trusting God and you faint, that is even worse. That means if Abraham stopped trusting God, stopped living for God, that means he will not come to this greatest test in his life. If he give up along the way somewhere, then you don't read about Abraham anymore. But Abraham keep serving God, okay, and living for God. And though he failed sometime, but he still continue. You see, God is interested in our life. God is interested in your life. And God wants to mold you. And we should remember this. None of us are perfect yet. I always tell people, you know, we are not, that God is not done with us yet. If you are well done, then you are in heaven already. If you are well done, I don't know, you think that when you cook beef, okay, well done is overcooked already. So you need to go to heaven. And but then, as long as you are not done, he's not done with you, God is going to continue to work with you, okay? He's going to work in your life and mold you, teach you, and let you go through different tests in life. And help you along the way, and so that you can grow from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and so that you can eventually be what God wants you to be if you don't give up. So that is very important. Don't give up. Don't ever give up as a Christian. God is faithful. We fail Him sometimes, but God will never fail us. Sometimes it looks like God have rejected us. No, He did not reject you. He is still there. So don't ever give up. Remember also that how we respond to God's working in our life today will somehow prepare us for our life or for our tomorrow. How you respond today will prepare you for tomorrow or for the future. Because it's step by step, moment by moment. Obedience involves learning. You see, through all those tests, Abraham not only learned to obey, but he also learned more about his God. You know, remember Abraham when he was how the Lord provided in Mount Moriah, here in Genesis chapter 22 verse 14. You know, you find that in verse 14, the Bible says, after God provided the lamb to be sacrificed, Abraham said this, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as he said, to this day, in the mouth of the Lord, it shall be seen, okay? That means God provide, God see, and God provide. You know, that is what he learned about God. So when you go through something in life, sometimes it may be difficult, and but you keep trusting and obey Him, you learn more about your God. That's how what we learn in the morning when we talk about knowing by experience. That's what it means. Knowing by experience. Knowing your God by experience. and I learned what it means to obey the Lord, what it means to trust the Lord by faith. Remember I told you all my testimony, how I went to the adult retreat, and then in that retreat, I guess it was the last meeting, last session, I'm not really sure whether it's the last or somewhere, in one of the preaching, I walked the aisle and make a decision. And I told you all the decision was, Lord, from today onward, I will be faithful. And so that retreat end on Friday or Saturday, I can't remember the actual day. So then Sunday. Of course that Sunday I did not turn up to work. But then on Monday, when I report to the office, I told my superior, I say, I used to work on Sunday, but from now on, I'm not going to work on Sunday. Then my superior, the one who interviewed me, he say, I thought you want to sit on my seat in 4 years' time, but by not coming on Sunday, you might not be able to achieve what you want to achieve. And he even told me, you know, in construction, if you don't work on Sunday, it can be difficult to get promotion. Because everybody work 24 hours, 8 to 12 hours per day, you know, for the 7 days a week in construction most of the time. Then I told him, no, I'm not going to work on Sunday. And if you still want me to work in this company, I will continue to perform and do my best. And I say, if I don't work on Sunday, but Saturday I'll plan everything for Sunday, for those who are working on Sunday. And I will plan for their work, but I'm not going to come. And if you think that I'm not going to help, be of help to the company, you can always lay me off. But then he still kept me. So that was Monday, I told him. On Wednesday or Thursday, he gave me a job. He said, okay, this is a job that you need to do. And that job is actually to build a box tower. You know, it's like a, it's like a very, like a room, maybe you put it this way, room, but then it's for water to run out under the road. So that it will flow, the water will flow from the main major drain, monsoon drain, go all the way into the river. And that one is right beside the river. So that means you have to dig below the river bed in order for the water to flow out. And so, few weeks before I was given this job, I have another colleague build another one somewhere higher on the upper stream. It's the same river, but another major road crossing there. And so he was building the other one. But when he built that one, one day we were all chased by the villager because the road collapsed, they flooded all their houses, killed all their pig, all their chicken, and they came after us. And then we have to have negotiate with the villager and the management and compensate them for whatever damage we had done. So when I was given this job, my superior told me, you remember few weeks ago, the incidents few weeks ago, now you're going to take care of this. This is your baby. And you told me you're not working on Sunday. Yeah, I say yes, I'm not working on Sunday. That will be the, after I make the decision, the very first Sunday that I'm not going to work. And if there is any problem, you are responsible. So I say, it's okay, I'll take it. And so we did, and we did. On Saturday, finally we did below the riverbed. And when you are below the riverbed, it's very dangerous now. Water can seep in very easily. And it's Saturday. Tomorrow I'm not working. So what am I going to do? And because it's so massive, I cannot just ask someone to do it in case there's a problem. You start to concrete and it's wrong, the steel bar is all inside, it's going to be messy. And that will be very costly if it's wrong. I need to be there personally. But the next day is Sunday, so what do you do? And I really promised God that I am going to be faithful. So that was the first time in my life where I learned to trust the Lord and say, God, I will be faithful. So I pray, God, I'm not going to come. And I told one of my subordinates, I said, tomorrow, okay, you don't have to do anything, okay? That night, that afternoon, I remember, I checked the level, everything, okay, this is exactly what the level specified by the engineer. So I make sure that it's correct. And then I told him, tomorrow, you don't worry. You just come in the morning, get one truckload of concrete. And then you come with two workers, pour the concrete down and spread at the base, a thin layer. Because I say, if you do that, if there's anything happen, if the water comes in, at least we have a hard base to work on. When we pump up the water, the base will be hard, not soggy and things like that. If it's soggy, it's going to be very, very difficult to work. So that's what I told him. So Sunday, I was sitting in the service. I look at the sky, kind of like dark. Okay, never mind. Try to pay attention to the preacher. I didn't even know what the preacher preached that day. My heart was not even there. My heart was out there. I was keep looking at the watch. And I don't know why that day the service seems to be so long. I said, Pastor, can you stop? I did not say yeah, but in my heart, I was really worried. And it was the first time to try to trust the Lord by faith. And then, immediately after the service, I did not even stay for fellowship or whatever. I straight away drove to the job site and I ran all the way there to that place. When I went there, I was stunned. It was dry, but no concrete. And it was drizzling. And then I was looking high and low, seeking high and low for that subordinate. I said, where is that guy hiding? You know, whether he report to work or not. I'm looking for him. Then the worst thing was that time to a handphone. Now maybe slightly easier. I didn't even have a handphone. And nobody had handphone at that time. Those people had handphone that time was a big boss with a big one. Like I speak bigger than the water bottle type. And only the rich one have. And most of the people don't have. And so then finally I got him. He was sitting in the concrete plant. And what happened is that because I was not there, he was being bullied. They don't want to supply the concrete to him so fast. They want to make him the last truck for him. So they mean the last one on that day. They have a big job, but I already booked for the early morning one. But because I was not there, they did not deliver. So when I was there, I just, of course, that time I was not really a good Christian. I showed my temper. I get them to bring the truck in, and then he concreted the place. This is not the miracle. You know what happened? The miracle is that for about 3 weeks, the place is still dry. When we are working on it, tying the steel bar, pouring concrete for the base level, then up the wall and to the top, finally to the top level, only we have rain and the water start comes in. But before that, it was all dry. And the resident engineer doubt me. He said, did you get the level right or not? And he had to check twice to confirm that I got the level right. Nobody can explain what happened, but I know God is showing me that I can trust Him. That's how I started to learn to trust the Lord. Trusting the Lord is an experience. It's a learning process. Even our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, even our Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience, the Bible tells us. Do you know? That's why you want to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that you need to be holy, not only that you need to walk in love. You need to love like the Lord Jesus. You need to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ walked. That means you need to love like the Lord Jesus Christ loved. You also need to obey like the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed. Now the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. If you turn there, Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, that this might be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but make himself, Philippians 2, okay, verse 7, but make himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And then verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, the Bible says. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then later on you see how God honored him, okay? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedient by the things which he suffered. we need to learn to be obedient. In fact, obedience is what God wants everyone to have. Right from the beginning, in the Garden of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, what was the thing that God wants from Adam and Eve? Obedience. It's obedience. Nothing else. Obedient. And they're supposed to care for the garden, but then the main thing is to be obedient. And then you find that they're supposed to look at the tree. You can look at it, you can touch it also if you want to. You can smell the fruit also, you can, because it's supposedly, according to Pastor Crocker, it's durian. So you can smell it, but you are not supposed to eat it, okay? And so it's forbidden, okay? So you can smell it, you can touch it if you want to, but you cannot eat it. The moment you eat, you die. And God wants him to obey. That's all. If he obeyed, he passed. He disobeyed, he failed. Of course, we know Adam and Eve failed. Obedience is so important that God tells the parents in the Bible, children, obey your parents. So whose responsibility is it to make sure that their children will be obedient to the parents? It's the parents. So it's the parents' responsibility to teach your children to obey. So if you have children and if your children cannot obey you, you have failed your children. Because they need to obey you. Because you represent God in their life. And that's why you find that when God teach Adam and Eve obedience, how did God teach Adam and Eve obedience? God put the tree of knowing good and evil where? In the middle of the garden. Not somewhere at the corner. But in the middle of the garden, they meet every day. Adam and Eve, I don't know how long they actually lived in the garden before the fall. Every day they can see the tree. They can smell the, according to your pastor, durian. I just make sure it's for you. And then, they can see it every day. It's right in the garden, in the middle. But how do we teach our children obedience? You know, many times I go to some homes, okay, when they have a little one. So they are not supposed to play with the phone. Last time they said a phone, okay, the phone that's a fixed line. So what do? They have the phone somewhere on the shelf on top. The children cannot touch it. Then they don't want children to open all the drawer or the cupboard or whatever. They have to go to IKEA, buy something to tie everything. That is not how you teach your children obedience. When our children grow up, all the displays in the house is there. And we tell them not to touch. You don't remove all the expensive things, hide them out, you know, tie them everywhere, you know, and so that the child cannot touch it. That is not teaching obedience. Teaching obedience is that you have those things there and tell them, make sure that they can hear you. Tell them you cannot touch this, and then they are not supposed to touch it. And that's what you do. And that's how God teach obedience as well. And obedience is the most important thing that we need to learn in life. Let's move on. Obedience involves listening. Otherwise, we have no time for all the show already. And so you find that obedience involves listening. Okay, obedience, an obedient heart learn to listen. You must listen. Listen to God. How often we have children, you know, the parents tell them something. Then the parent, they did not see, they don't, the parent realize that the child or the son or the daughter did not do what they were asked to do. Then say, did you hear me just now? Or sometimes they do differently. Did you hear me just now? What did I tell you to do? And so often we hear this statement from parents. I talk to the children, did you hear me? Did you listen just now? What did I tell you? No, that's what you hear parents say, something like that. These are statements you hear a lot. And so to obey the Lord, we need to listen to know exactly what God wants us to do. You see, God did not call Abraham 6 or 7 times. God talked to Abraham and straight away he replied. You know, God says something and Abraham straight away said, behold, here am I. So our greatest ability, okay, is to It's our availability. No, in this chapter, in fact, you will hear Abraham say, here I am, or something like that, three times. One time was to his son, but two times was to God. And when Abraham said that, he was not saying that, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And after God say, then he will say, okay, let me consider, okay. No, he did not say that. When he say, here am I, he means that, okay, what do you want me to do? And I will do it. And that was what he means when he say, here am I. That he's already, he's ready to, he already decided in his mind to do the will of God. And when God tell him what to do, straight away he did, okay. Told him what to do, he did. He was not, he was making himself available. He was there ready to serve. He was like a servant, you know, waiting for the instruction for the master. And he was there, ready. So you find that not like some of us, okay, how God try to get our attention, we just refuse to listen. So in Genesis chapter 22 verse 3, the Bible say, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and settled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleft the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. So you find that not only that he was prompt, you know, in getting himself up early, you know, he did not procrastinate, he did not delay. At the same time, you find that he get all the things needed ready. He get the fire, he get the wood all ready. You know, you find that just like what the psalmist say in Psalm 119, verse 60. Now, I make haste and delay not to keep thy commandment. Make haste and delay not. We always hear someone say, some preachers say, you know, delay obedience is disobedient. Abraham did not delay. So you want to teach your children obedience, so that they will learn to obey the Lord one day. Remember this, delay obedience is disobedient. Then you find that he made all the preparation. He was all ready. He prepared everything. And that is how we need to, I think I touch on that. So to fulfill what God wants us to do, make sure that we get ourselves ready. Make sure we listen. Listen, we pay attention to what God says. And I'll listen to God, okay? And the first Christian nowadays is to listen to what the Bible says. So obedience involves listening. And then finally, obedience involves leaning. Abraham was submitting to God's way, okay, though he did not know how things will work out, he did not know what will happen. But in Hebrew chapter 11 verse 19, okay, you turn there, there's a reason why I believe Abraham was sleeping. Abraham slept soundly that night. In Hebrews 11 verse 19, Hebrews 11 verse 19, the word of God say, counting that God was able to raise Isaac up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he obeyed God, and he believed that God is able. And so that's why he had total confidence in God. He is not saying, oh, I'm not very sure what God is going to do. Maybe he do not know how, but he believes that God is able, if God wants to. Because God had provided, he waited for Isaac, and finally God gave him Isaac. And so now God wants Isaac back, and he said, no problem, I give it to God, and I believe if I sacrifice him, somehow God is able to raise him up. But God did not raise him up, because God stopped him from killing Isaac. This is one of the good illustration of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6, okay? We memorize Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6 a lot. But then, if you want to trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy way acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what Abraham did that day. He was trusting the Lord completely. It was not his own understanding, because his own understanding, he's not very sure. He believed that God could raise him up. But the key is that he is trusting God, obeying God. So are we willing? Now, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, you know, we read about Abraham, we read about all these people who trust the Lord by faith, but are we willing to trust God with our future? Are we willing to trust God with our career? Are we willing to trust God with our future life partner? You know, many times we always worry that we will miss the opportunity. I always tell people in the church, or some people come for advice, I always tell them, if it is God's will, you will never miss the opportunity. if you are obeying him, okay? If you want to obey the Lord, you want to do according to what God says, if you are waiting for the Lord, then you find that you will never miss the opportunity. There is no such thing. Because if it's from God, then it's from God. Because, and if you are waiting for him to make it clear, then you find that you will get it. No, he's not going to miss the opportunity. And I remember there was this English teacher. She's from America. And that was the time when I was trained to be a pastor. And my English was very bad then, okay. Now, also not very good. So she came over. And she wanted to take a break from the life in America because she waited for quite some time. And the man that, what happened here is that there was a man that was interested in her. And unfortunately, this man was not a serious Christian. But this lady, okay, the English teacher who came over to teach me, to teach me English, she was very young. She was already very faithful, serving in the church, teaching in the Sunday school, and God called her to the ministry. So from young, she already know she can only marry a faithful Christian who will eventually become a missionary or a pastor. So when this guy, who is a so-so Christian, who is not serious about his spiritual walk, okay, can she say yes to him? Obviously no. And so when she say no to him, so for the next few years, she's getting older and older. And after she rejected him, about 4 to 5 years, and he was literally discouraged. She was literally discouraged. So she came to took a break in Malaysia for 3 months. In that 3 months, she taught me English. Her English is very good because she can sit there in the preaching. Of course, she's very kind. Then she will tell me all the wrong pronunciation, all the wrong grammatical, all the grammatical error, and then she will teach me how to rephrase certain things, you know, and so forth. I don't know if she sit here again, I can still fail anyway. But so what happened is that then we became good friends and we start to talk, and that's how I know about her situation. Then after 3 months, she went back to America. So when she was in America, on her birthday, I wrote her a letter and greet her happy birthday, and then she wrote back. You know, guess what? She was so happy and excited. The guy that she rejected, that guy was so discouraged also, because he was rejected by a lady, okay? He thought he's good looking enough maybe, or and macho enough, you know, and just say, I want to marry you, you know, but the lady said, no, I'm not. So he also got very discouraged, and he left the church. And he left the church, he went somewhere else, you know, part of the state. And somehow God won his heart. He went to the Bible college. For 4 years, he did not contact her. He studied the Bible college, and he graduated, became a pastor. And then he came back to look for her to see whether she's still married or not. And she was still single. They got married. A year later, they got a daughter. Can you trust the Lord like her? Knowing this is what God wants in my life. And I will wait. I will leave the result to God. I will let God decide my destiny. Be it good or bad, I do not know. How things are going to work out, I do not know. But I'm going to do what is right and trust the Lord. Do we dare to trust the Lord like that? It's not easy. That's why faith is forsaking all, I trust in Him. That's faith. Forsaking all, I trust in Him. Okay, the abbreviation, okay? Forsaking all, I trust in Him. There's only one life. Soon, okay, we pass. And only what's done for Christ will last. Abraham trusted the Lord and withheld nothing. And you know what? God gave him everything. God gave him many things. Because you find that if you read Genesis chapter 22 verse 15, I did not cover all the verses, but Genesis chapter 22 verse 15, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven," and the second time, you know, first time he almost there already, okay? Second time, you know, that you can imagine how determined he was in trusting the Lord. The angel had to call out twice to stop him. And of course, we when you read, you don't read about the suspense or the urgency there, okay? The knife is coming down already, so close, you know, and then you find that, then he go on to say, and say, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the star of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Do you dare to obey God and leave the result to God? Let me end with this. What God is interested in Abraham? Was it Isaac? No. It was his obedience. Isaac was very precious to Abraham. You know, many times we are like little children. We thought God wants our toy. Oh, our toy, this is my toy, you know. This is important to me, this is precious to me. We hold so tight to the toy, to what we have in life, our job or whatever we have. And that's like when God called me to a ministry, my job was so important. I had to struggle for a few months before I let go of my job. And we are holding on to what we have and what we want, what is precious to us. But do you know, many times God does not want what you have. God does not want your Isaac. God wants your obedience. It is not your Isaac that God is looking at. It's your heart. Your obedience. Let's pray.